listening in San Francisco. Hi, Eric. Welcome. We are glad that you have called. What can Tim help you with?
Uh-oh.
Hey, Eric.
Thank you.
Sure. Go right ahead.
So, here's my question. Sorry about that. I had to take myself off Bluetooth. Okay, so I think being on hold, Holy Spirit infused me with the knowledge, and I think I answered my own question.
Hey.
But I'll ask it anyway.
Tell him to infuse me, too, would you? But go ahead, Eric.
Well, I hope I'm right, Tim. Here you go.
All right.
So God all-knowing, and so he would know our choices, and he would know at the end of our life if we would be going to heaven or hell.
Absolutely.
So a soul that has been judged to go to hell, is that soul, has that soul, was he or she a part of the mystical body of Christ?
And that is certainly possible, yes. You can be a member of the mystical body of Christ for a time, Eric, because when we're baptized, for example, as Sacred Scripture tells us in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we're buried together with him through baptism, so that as Christ is raised in newness of life, we may walk in newness of life. And that's not based on our merits. We are baptized into Christ. It's a gift of grace. The initial grace of faith and salvation is just that. It is a gift. But once we're incorporated into Christ, we have to choose to continue to walk with him. I always like to use for that, Eric, the text from John 15, 1 through 6, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who continues to abide in me will be fruitful. If he does not continue to, now I'm paraphrasing, if he doesn't continue to abide with me, he will be cut off and cast into the fire. Right? I mean, Jesus it's pretty unequivocal terms there that you can be in the vine and then be cut off. Paul will use that same imagery, probably getting it from Jesus in Romans chapter 11 when he talks about the Jews and Gentiles, how they were the natural branches cut off. We are the wild olive branch and have been grafted in. But beware, I think it's verse 22 there in Romans 11 where he says, behold the goodness and severity of God, the severity toward those who have fallen, goodness toward you if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. So now, how does predestination work in with that? Of course, Eric, in the Catholic Church, we do not teach. In fact, we explicitly condemn, for example, the Catechism, paragraph 1037. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, God predestines no one to hell. In order to go to hell, the Catechism says, one must commit a mortal sin and persist in it until death. Right? So that explicitly and the Council of Trent, Session 6, also, in a couple of canons, number 17 comes to mind immediately, but there are other canons that also condemn predestination. And I would recommend, Eric, I mean, not predestination, but the idea of double predestination, that God predestines some for heaven and some for hell. The Catholic Church condemns that. And there's a beautiful section in the Catechism, beginning right around paragraph 302, read down to about 309. It might even begin in 300. It's right around there. And it talks about the providence of God, predestination. Then it gets into secondary causes, the problem of evil, and all of that. I'm telling you, Eric, the Catechism is such a gift to the world because in a really succinct area, it deals with some of the most complicated questions like the problem of evil in a brilliant way. But what it says in essence is we have a positive plan of predestination. God wills all to be saved. That is his plan. You can say his predestined plan from all the foundation of the world. He wills all to be saved. However, within that, what the Catechism calls providential plan, he gave us free will. So we can reject his predestined plan for our salvation. And if we do, hell will be ours purely because of us. There will be it will have nothing to do whatsoever with God, because God will have given us sufficient grace to get to heaven. We will have had to reject his grace in order for us to get to hell. Now, he simply, Eric, knows what those free choices are going to be. Why? Because he's God. He can't not know. Because if, you know, here's a little rule of thumb. Philosophically thinking, Eric, or philosophically speaking, God is pure actuality. By definition, he is pure act. There's no lack in God. If there's lack in him, he's not God. He has to be pure act. So a creature cannot do anything that would lead God to know something, right? Because that would mean God is not pure act. If God says, oh my goodness, I didn't know Tim Staples was going to do that. Well, guess what? He's not God. So God knows it, but knowing it doesn't mean he caused it. And that's when you get to that area of secondary causes there in the Catechism, paragraph roughly 300 through 309, excellent little section there that makes that distinction. But does that help at all, Eric?
I guess I was infused with 1 millimeter worth of knowledge there by the Holy Spirit. But thank you so much, Tim. Yeah, no, I've been a Catholic for so long and listened to you guys a lot. And you always talk about the Catechism, but I never look at it. I never read it. Don't even have one.
Got to get it, brother.
I see how important it is. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, brother. We've got them right here for you at Catholic.com. Check it out, every Catholic home. Anybody listening to me right now, if you do not have a catechism and you are a Catholic, call us. You need to get one. Make it a Christmas present for your whole family.
Thanks, Eric, for joining us.